Hello, here's another episode of Gavin Scott Presents celebrating a poem which delights me every time I read it because beneath its highly intellectual gloss, it's really a howl of fury by someone who's clearly just been dumped. The poet is John Donne. The poem begins with the immortal words, "Go and catch a falling star," and its last line makes me laugh at the sheer wounded vanity of the poet every time I read it. Donne led a fascinating life. He was born the son of a Roman Catholic in London in 1575, when Protestant Queen Elizabeth was on the throne and, being a Catholic, was pretty close to being an enemy of the state. His father died when Donne was 4 years old, and he was brought up by his devoutly Catholic mother, whose brother was a Roman Catholic priest and whose great-uncle had been Sir Thomas More, the man beheaded by Henry VIII. Young John went to Oxford at 11. Yes, 11, and after 3 years there, went to Cambridge as well, for good measure. But he wasn't awarded a degree because he was a Catholic. He then came back to London to study law, and that's what he was doing when his brother Henry was arrested for harbouring a Catholic priest. Henry was tortured and betrayed the unfortunate priest, who was then hung, drawn, and quartered, and shortly after that, Henry died in prison of bubonic plague. Not surprisingly, these events caused Donne to begin questioning his Catholic faith. Certainly, not long after, he used to be found fighting the Catholics in Spain with glamorous figures like the Earl of Essex and Sir Walter Raleigh. When he returned to England, he decided to become a diplomat and at 25 managed to find a job with the Keeper of the Great Seal at York House, one of the most influential social centres in England, only to get himself into trouble when he fell in love with his boss's niece, Anne Moore, and despite his objections, secretly married her. But you didn't mess lightly with the rich and powerful in those days. Donne was arrested and thrown into prison, as was the clergyman who'd married the couple, and even the man who'd acted as witness. And although ultimately he managed to get them all released, his career was ruined, and he had to retire to the country and scrape a living as a lawyer, while his wife dutifully produced a new baby every year. Though several of them died before they were 10, Donne was almost driven to despair by the financial pressures of this huge family, and contemplated suicide even before Anne, having given birth to the 12th child, died herself. Donne mourned her deeply. But in the meantime, he'd begun to write poetry, and found a patron, Sir Robert Drury, who provided him with an apartment in his large home in Drury Lane. And now Donne's poems and anti-Catholic pamphlets pleased Queen Elizabeth's successor, James I, who suggested Donne turn his back on Catholicism for all time by becoming a Church of England vicar. Perhaps a little battered by life now, Donne decided to follow the king's advice, and at last found success, becoming a famous preacher and being appointed a royal chaplain before being given the job of Dean of St. Paul's, a well-paid position he held until his death. It was during this time that he came up with the immortal phrases such as, "No man is an island," and "Seek not to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." He died in his 50s in 1631, and left behind for us a wealth of poetic delights, including this one, Song, which starts off with a series of impossible demands of his interlocutor, including making a plant pregnant, explaining where the devil got his hoofs, and catching that falling star. But listen out for that last line, the perfect barbed sting in the tail. Enjoy. Song by John Donne. Go and catch a falling star. Get with child a mandrake root. Tell me where all past years are, or who cleft the devil's foot. Teach me to hear mermaids singing, or to keep off envy's stinging, and find what wind serves to advance an honest mind. If thou beest born to strange sights, things invisible to see, Ride 10,000 days and nights, till age snow-white hairs on thee. Thou, when thou return'st, wilt tell me all strange wonders that befell thee, and swear nowhere lives a woman true and fair. If thou find'st one, let me know. Such a pilgrimage were sweet. Yet do not. I would not go, though at next door we might meet. Though she were true when you met her, and last, till you write your letter, yet she will be false ere I come to two or three.